Okay, I'd like to introduce the first speaker. Can you please welcome Julie B. from Living the Program, Group of NA in the North Pittsburgh area.
Hi, I'm Julie. I'm an addict. First, I want to thank the retreat for asking me to speak. This is one of my least favorite things to do, not because I'm not, you know, I don't like talking, and not because I don't like talking about me, but because I don't really know what I'm going to say, and that's scary. Because I've ended up in pain from behind a podium more than once, like, because I find out stuff about myself that I didn't know or didn't want to admit. Because I get vulnerable up here, because I pray, like, for God to remove my self-will and ego and give me the strength and courage to do His footwork. That's my prayer, and so sometimes that really happens. That sucks. Sometimes it does, and I end up feeling really great, and all's well. Sometimes, and I believe that sometimes, like, I speak for me, and sometimes I speak for somebody else. And, like, somebody told me a long time ago, like, your job at the podium is to, you know, comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. But I'm not sure if I'm the comfortable or the afflicted right now. So I don't know how I'm going to feel at the end. So when they gave me this topic, the only requirement, like, of course, what I think is the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using. And when I came in, I don't know that I had the desire to stop using. I remember saying, like, I wanted to want to stop using, but I didn't. Like, I didn't want to stop using. I didn't really, I went to rehab with a needle and a pipe in my mom's shoe closet and left it there the whole time, you know, while I was in rehab until, like, her house got surrounded by the police because some guy had fell out there right before I left. And she's a nurse, so then I told her because I was afraid, you know, that cops would go in there and they would find it and give it to her. But, so I really didn't want to stop using when I started. And it took me 3 years of coming to meetings and experiencing the love of the fellowship before I got the clean date I have now, which is October 3rd, 2008. But it took me a long time to get that. I kept hanging on. The other story that popped in my head whenever they gave me this topic was this one. I was at an event, and I'm not sure if it was a Start to Live event or a spiritual retreat event, but I remember the speaker was Marla, and she was getting ready to go up and speak. Like, they had read all the readings, and they, like, introduced the speaker, and this dude who is obviously seriously under the influence went up to the podium and, like, started talking crazy. And the audience got real quiet. Nobody yelled, sit that down. You know what I mean? Nobody yelled, get out. Nobody did that. Silence. And Marla was standing to the side just waiting. And two guys came up and got on either side of that dude and walked him out of that hall. And when he got out the door, like, the room broke into applause. And then Marla got up there and started to talk. But it was, like, a powerful example of the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. That guy wouldn't have been there if he didn't have any desire to stop using. He wouldn't have been at a Narcotics Anonymous event, right? So, like, he was treated with compassion. And those two dudes stood outside and talked to him for a long time, which I'm sure is the last thing on earth they wanted to be doing at the time. But they did it anyway, and they did it kindly and with compassion. And that's how I was treated for those 3 years, because I came in and I was a sneak user. Like, I picked up key tags for a long time while I had, like, snuck 2 weeks before. Like, some people come to the rooms and they pick up tags and, like, everybody knows. I don't know that everybody knew I was lying, because I didn't, like, come to meetings loaded. I would, like, sneak use and then not use for 3 months and then take something, you know, home alone. But anyway, I did that. And people were kind to me, and they, like, accepted me. And I'm really tolerant of people. Like, that's probably one of my strongest suits, is that, like, people do stuff, and I don't think they're doing it to me, and I don't think they're doing it. I don't feel like they're, like, trying to get over on me. I just don't feel like that. It's just, like, that's what they do. Like, somebody used in my bathroom at my house, and my significant other, like, she admitted it to me after she came back or whatever, but my significant other was really mad, and here goes me, of course she used it, like, why wouldn't she? She's using, like, that was where she, it was convenient, so it made perfect sense to me that she used it in my bathroom, and him not so much, but, yeah, so I must have had some desire. I didn't have the desire to stop using as much as I had the desire to stop, like, wrecking my life. And, you know, wrecking my mom's life. And, like, wrecking my kids' life. I didn't, like, acknowledge the damage I was doing to me for a long time. So, like, the desire to stop using for me, I think, is internal. Like, and I did have it a long time before I stopped using. Because certainly for that last year, like, I didn't want to use. I didn't want to not want to use. I really didn't want to, and I was compelled. And I can relate that to other stuff, too. It's not just the drug for me anymore. Like, I have a desire to, like, do good things for myself. But that doesn't, like, I don't always have the willingness. There's a thing on a wall at a place where I go pick girls up, and what it says is, like, their number one tenet is that everybody's trying as hard as they can at that moment. And, like, when I'm there, I'm real all right with people. Like, if you're doing the best you can, even if it's crappy, it's the best you can. You know, and I do the best I can, and sometimes it's crappy, but it's really the, like, it's really the best I got, particularly with my family. Because I do, like, I'm real tolerant, I just told you that. It's still, like, the 19-year-old goes off the rails, and then he's bleeding all of a sudden. I don't know how that happened. Like, and it's not good, and, like, everything's, you know, a mess, and my house is in turmoil. Then I'm not so tolerant. So if I can remember, like, that he's doing the best he can, then I'm real all right on the inside. Because that's what this is about for me. Like, this whole thing is about getting all right with me. And if I'm all right with me, then it really doesn't matter how other people feel about me. Not that I don't care, because I do, but it doesn't matter. It's not my primary focus, you know. Yeah, but, like, thank God there wasn't a requirement that you had to be honest when I got here. Thank God that, thank God, like, not stealing wasn't a requirement. Thank God, like, having healthy relationships wasn't a requirement. Because I certainly didn't do any of that. And somebody, the speaker last night said it, and it rang true for me. Like, people didn't care. I would tell my friends at the time, I don't give a shit about spiritual principles. Okay, I don't care. I don't desire to be a better person. And they'd just be like, all right, just keep coming. Like, they were really cool. It was a group of young girls. And I would say stuff like, they would be like, you know, whatever I did, some ridiculous thing. And they would be like, that's really not good to do. And I don't care. It's what I did. So what? Nobody said I had to be a good person. And then, you know, from that requirement, though, like, from that little bit of desire, I don't know where the willingness to pray came from. No, I do. I know where it came from for me, but, like, I can't point to a moment and, like, oh, I have the willingness. Because for 3 years, I had I had some desire, which grew as I stayed and saw other people recover. But at some point, like, I got the willingness to pray, and then I believe the willingness to do everything else came from there. But, yeah, I always feel bad if, you know, when somebody, I've seen people who had the same desire I have die. I've sat with them in a meeting, and a week later when I went back, they were gone. And I don't believe that I had any more desire than they did. I don't know why that happens, or, you know, why I'm, like, one of the lucky ones or whatever, no idea. But one person in particular, I know he had the desire to stop using. And, you know, he died. And it sucks. And I didn't. And so, like, now I owe. And I was had an extremely pitiful and bad bottom. And my life is particularly spectacular. It really is. So, like, I owe a lot. So I try to give back where I can. And particularly to newcomers, I really try to apply that principle. Like, if you say you're a member, you're a member. But I know I didn't feel like a member until I got involved with service. I just didn't. I felt like I was on the outskirts of this thing for a long time. Until I got involved, and then almost immediately, now it's my fellowship. Like, I belong here. And I feel that, which I didn't before service, and I do now. I'm about done. Yeah. Uh-huh. Thanks, everybody, for real.
Thank you, Jolie, for coming to share with us. I'd like to introduce the second speaker, Will S. from Stick and Stay in Kittanning.
Hi, family. I'm an addict named Will. I don't know, man. I always share this. Like, I come from a very, very different culture than what is in front of us right now. And, like, I love this. I believe this is God's country. And, like, this is my favorite retreat. It's my favorite event in Narcotics Anonymous. There's something spiritual in nature about this up here. But the reason I'm bringing that up is because, like, I always share that, like, I believe if there is a heaven and the people who die are up there looking down, like, I firmly believe that Martin Luther King is smiling every time he looks at Narcotics Anonymous. I firmly believe that what we do here is exactly what Martin Luther King envisioned when he said that all people treat it equally. And I always share that because, like, there's something great about Martin Luther King where he fought for equality of every man. And I think that goes misguided sometimes, that that's what we do here. We talk about the only requirement for membership is a desire. And like Julie, and I'd like to thank her for sharing her experience, strength, and hope. You know, we kind of got clean together and met each other along this path and been friends ever since. So I remember I celebrated a year clean, and I can remember being at her old home group's anniversary, and she had a year clean, and she was the speaker for the anniversary. And I'll always remember that. I met her that day, and you know, it's just beautiful to share this with her, especially when, like, what she shared and what I'm going to share are two different things. you know, and I think that's great. That's what makes Narcotics Anonymous so unique, is the diversity in which we come from different walks of life and different paths. And, like, thank God the desire to stop using wasn't what I needed when I came here. Because, like, I know in 1995, standing on a boulevard in Baltimore, Maryland, fresh out of city jail with a pocket full of crack, I had the desire to stop fucking up my life. But I ain't have no desire to stop using. Right? I had the desire to, like, have somebody teach me how to do this shit right. You know what I mean? Like I always share, like, I'm not that, like, thank God, like, I've come to some acceptance on who I am. And, like, I'm just not that person. You know, I hear it all the time because, like, I'm the only recovering addict at work. So I hear it all the time, like, why? You know what I mean? Well, why? Like, I don't understand why. There's a debate on Facebook last night from somebody, a dear friend of mine, and it kind of hurt my feelings, but, you know, the debate was, is addiction a disease? 900 comments about how it's a choice. And to be honest with you, I'm not here to debate whether it's a choice or a disease. And that's what I shared with them. What I shared with them is, in the man who spoke's reality, he said that it's a choice. And I'm guessing that he's not an addict. So in his reality, he's 100% accurate in what he believes because that's his reality. Right? And I shared how, like, I'm not a lesbian. So therefore, I don't understand what a lesbian's reality is. Therefore, I shouldn't comment on how a lesbian became or is a lesbian. Correct? So what I do understand now is that, like, if I'm not an addict, if I've never walked in an addict's shoes, if I've never seen the desperation, if I've never seen the pain, and if I've never seen what the desire to stop when you can't, when you're crying relentlessly because you don't want to get high at all costs, but you just can't stop, then I don't really have no reason speaking on it, right? What I know today is if I've never walked in a man's tennis shoes, like, I don't really know how he's supposed to step. And it's through the principles in the third tradition that really taught me what the true spirit of anonymity is, that there's no big eyes and no little U's in Narcotics Anonymous, that we're all created, we're all here, and we're able to recover at our own process, is really what taught me how to take that into everyday life. So when I shared that with him, and I shared with him, what I do know, though, is that the truth will never have to be defended, nor will it have to be debated. So I didn't debate with him. I'm not going to debate with you. You know what I mean? This is what I do know. I am not Donald Trump. I am not sitting in a debate room, and I'm not going to debate. This is what I understand about me, that I am an addict. I believe that I suffer from the disease of addiction. I believe that it attacked me when I read the first step. It talked about the how it attacks me mentally, physically, and spiritually. And I, looking back at all the things that I've done before I ever even got high, that rang true in my story. So, thank God when I got here, they told me that the only requirement for membership was the desire to stop using. But that desire really wasn't. There wasn't no desire to do what I was willing, what needed to be done, I should say. I came here. I moved to Pennsylvania that fateful night, standing on the boulevard in Baltimore in 1995. Why y'all ain't read that part? I'm not sponsoring. He knows I'm speaking at 11. Ask Jeff. I had the desire to do something different, but what I understand now is I had the desire to run from who I was. So standing on that boulevard in 1995, I picked up, left, landed in Pittsburgh with a desire to stop feeling pain, with a desire to stop fucking up my life. I got to Pennsylvania because I'm this illusionist, right? I'm like David Copperfield in the flesh. Like, I had this illusion that, like, I'm a bona fide crack dealer, but yet, like, you know what I mean? I had, like, a Pookie syndrome, you know what I mean? Like I got high on my own supply, like, you know, relentlessly. So, you know, and I'm standing there, and I had a desire to change my circumstances, you know what I mean? So I changed my circumstances, and I landed somewhere north of Katahdin. And what happened was I eventually migrated to the town of Apollo and Vandegrift, and the desire to change my circumstances was still there, but the desire to remain doing the right thing was gone once I found out that they had one cop on duty. So what I understand is that wherever I go, there I am. If the change doesn't occur. And came into this program in 1997. My clean date is 2009. You know what I mean? I am not a and I'm not judging anybody. Trust me. Like I and the reason I share this is I'm not the addict who came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous high. Fuck that. You are not screwing up my buzz. If I get high, you are not seeing me in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I have the utmost respect for people who get high and come to meetings. I don't know how you do that without committing suicide directly after. But what I do know is the principles aligned with this is you are the very first person when I'm going out to eat that I say, would you like to come? Even if I got to pick your chin up to ask you. Even if I got to make sure, you might want to get that, partner. You know what I mean? No matter what the case is, you're the one. And I'm not going to be honest with you. Like, I want you to come. I want you to see us laughing. Right? You ain't got no money? I'll buy it for you. I'll buy you something to eat. Oh, you're not hungry? I'm sure you're not. I'm sure you're not. You know what I mean? I was never hungry when I was drooling on myself either. But I'm going to feed you anyway. Because I want some of that to wear off. Right? I want you to hear the laughter. Right? I want you to see the love between two men. Between two women. Different kind of love. Different kind of love. I want you to see the bond. I want you to hear the genuine love, right? I want you to start crying. I want it to fuck up your spirit. Because maybe that emptiness that you feel from getting high one more time, when you see what happens when we apply these principles in our life and we find a new way to live? Maybe, just maybe, that's that hit. That's that pain. That's that desperation. That whatever the fuck it is that you want, that you got, I want it. Because my story isn't I came here, oh shit, you, look, Narcotics Anonymous, what I was looking for. Oh, hell no. You know what I mean? What I came is found a whole bunch of people talking, acting exactly like me, and it scared me. You know what I mean? So I ran to that water fellowship, the liquid fellowship, because over there, that's socially acceptable. So I don't know that I actually had what I needed for me is the desire to stop using. You know what I mean? Like I said, like I had a desire to be a better father, right? I had a desire to be a better man. I'm still desiring to be all those things. It is still a process. You know what I mean? I have not reached the pinnacle. And the longer I stay in this process, the more I read the literature, the more I apply these principles in my life, the more that I see that, like, I am a member of Narcotics Anonymous. This is a lifelong investment. Right? When I came here, I had a desire to be a good father. That's the only reason I came. I still, to this day, like getting high. Ain't going to sugarcoat it. I just ain't done it since February 20th, 2009. I don't have the desire to fuck my life up anymore. I don't have the desire to use anymore. But to tell you that I don't like getting high would be blasphemy. When I see the person over there high and I hear my sponsees or anybody else who say, that makes me sick, I say, stop it. Stop it. No, it don't. Makes you jealous. Makes you jealous. You wish that you could be over there okay. You know what I mean? Because he don't care. You know what I mean? He don't care. It ain't wore off yet. You know what I mean? We don't start to feel them internal feelings until it wears off. Till we're looking at the exact reflection in the mirror. You know what I mean? That was the beginning of my desire. That desire to change. Because standing where I'm pissing where I'm washing my hands and where I have to shave all in one compartment. You know what I mean? With that funny house, funny farm mirror they give you, right? To me, the vision was clear. So I had a desire to change far before I had a desire to stop using. I remember I had 6 months clean, and I was in a treatment facility not far from here, a halfway house, and like I had a desire to run. The disease told me, Jack, pack up and go. It is time to move. And I had 6 months clean. It is time to run. As a matter of fact, you know you can't do this. You've never been able to do this. I don't know why you're faking the funk now. And I remember pulling up some individuals, and I had shared with them, and I clung on to them that day. I really did. I shared, I cried, I boo-hooed, and what I found out is, in that moment, that night, at a meeting in Altoona, Pennsylvania, reading the reading, we do recover, sitting there when it said, this is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous. I not only lost the desire to use in that moment, I've never had a desire to use since, but I also was a member of Narcotics Anonymous that very day. That was the day I surrendered to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. That was the day that I became everything in a nutshell. That was the day that the desire to use left. That was the day that I became a member, because I understand there is a difference. You know what I mean? The literature talks about we're members when we say we are. But, like, my road here wasn't, I wasn't ice skating on glass. It wasn't a smooth surface. You know what I mean? I'm that addict, and it talked about in the third tradition that we could be prayed over, right? Locked up. You know what I mean? I'm that addict that they looked at and said, "What the fuck is wrong with you? Why do you do this shit?" You know what I mean? Like, I'm the addict that came home time and time again. Like, baby, I ain't gonna do it tomorrow. I ain't gonna do it tomorrow. You promise? I promise. Promise I ain't gonna do tomorrow. You know what I mean? Wake up at 8 o'clock, 8:15. Off to the races. Like, that's my story. You know what I mean? 2 days later. baby. Baby. I'm going to the bar. I'll be back by 11. I promise. You know what I mean? 10:45 the next morning. You know what I mean? So I'm that addict, went not to lose the girl. I'm that addict who goes to NA to hopefully be socially acceptable for a change. I'm that addict who goes to Narcotics Anonymous so that hopefully the people who says, dude, you ain't nothing but a piece of shit. You know what I mean? Will stop calling me names. I'm that addict that was always searching for a place where I belonged and didn't find it until I completely surrendered to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. That's my story. And I don't know about nobody else, but my willingness to change has met my desire to stop using. And it wasn't like that. And what I know about the disease of addiction is, now that I've said that out loud to you, tomorrow it will figure out how to attack me. And I'll have to regroup, rethink, and reply to the disease of addiction. You know what I mean? And that's why I keep coming. That's why I stay here. That's why I stay in the process. That's why I not only surrendered to the disease of addiction, but I surrendered to the program of Narcotics Anonymous and became a member in a place that I knew could save my life, in a place where I knew that you guys have a desire to stop too. And even if one of us falls off, there's so many more to pick us back up. I don't let the disease tell me any more of the lies that it told me in the beginning. I know that I can do this. My experience now has proven that I can do this with the help of Narcotics Anonymous. Being a member, service, like Julie was talking about. You know, I've been in service since I had 30 days clean. It's something about Narcotics Anonymous that I stay in service with. I'm not the addict who says you cannot say no to Narcotics Anonymous. That is not my story. If it is going to create unmanageability in my life, I will tell you no in a heartbeat. This is what I am, though, the addict who will not tell Narcotics Anonymous no if I can do it. I'm not going to tell Narcotics Anonymous no to sit on my couch. But if I have something going on, then I will tell Narcotics Anonymous no. But the only reason that I stay committed to the program is that I believe in my heart, through other people who came, said they surrendered, and then decided one day that they didn't want to be here anymore, I watched the desire to use slowly creep back into them. And what I know now about myself through the process that I've been here is, if I'm here and if I'm in the middle and the desire to use creeps back up, as long as I got you guys, as long as I bounce things off of you guys, as long as I share honestly with you guys, and as long as I stay in the middle of this thing, then you guys will hold me up and keep me from falling off. The desire to use is gone. The desire to keep going is here. The desire to keep moving forward in my professional life is here. Like, I keep striving to move forward. I keep striving to be a better man. And thank God for Narcotics Anonymous and the people around it. Thank God that I lost the desire to use a long time ago, and it's kept me here. And thank God for the fellowship as a whole, teaching me and keeping that ever revolving disease and how it attacks me, and how Facebook can make me feel so inadequate by a bunch of people's opinions that don't even know what they're talking about, that has never felt with the pain that comes from being an addict and using against your own will, crying relentlessly like Pookie in New Jack City because you can't stop. You want to, but you can't. You know what I mean? Thank God for you guys. Thank God for the committee for asking me to speak. And I'm an addict named Will.